when you love what you do, that's a real key for any business that you get into as well, especially multifamily real estate, because it's a team sport. And people need to feel that passion to want to work with you. And the only way you get that passion is if you love it.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Rod Kalief is a multiple business owner and philanthropist who is passionate about business, high-performance real estate, and giving back. And if you don't know Rod, he has built over 24 businesses in his 40-year career. And he soared from humble beginnings as a young, impoverished Dutch immigrant to incredible success here in the U.S. One of the cool things about Rod is he's also founded the Tiny Hands Foundation, which has benefited more than 95,000, that's with 30s, children in need. Rod, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sam. This will be fun. Yeah, 40 years. Good Lord. It's actually 42 and makes me feel old just hearing it. But no, I appreciate you having me on the show. I'm hoping we can add a ton of value today. And, you know, let's have some fun.
Let's do it, man. You know, there's three questions I ask every person who comes on the show. And I'm going to give you the floor to really run with this a little bit longer. Most of the time I say, make it very short and answer these three questions. But I think we're going to spend the bulk of this show on these three questions, which is, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Okay. That is going to take more than just a couple minutes. But I think your listeners will really appreciate me going back a little bit, actually. So I immigrated to this country when I was 6 years old with my brother Albert, my mother's Vantje. I was born in the Netherlands and, you know, in Holland. Think wooden shoes and windmills. And we struggled. We ended up in Denver, Colorado, and we didn't have much. In fact, I remember eating expired food because it was cheaper than the regular food, drinking powdered milk with our cereal in the morning, which, by the way, sucks, and wearing clothes in the Goodwill and the Salvation Army all the way through junior high school, you know, until I lied about my age at Burger King and got a job when I was 14 so I could buy my own clothes and then ultimately buy my own car. You know, I'm sure there are people that are on your show that had it harder than we did, or maybe even have it harder now, but I knew I wanted more. And luckily, my mom had an incredible work ethic. So she babysat kids so we'd have enough money to eat. And with her babysitting money, she was a bit of an entrepreneur. She actually invested in the stock market. She did IPO. She made money there. But she also invested in real estate. And her first house that she bought was right across the street from us. And she bought it when I was 14 for about $30,000. When I was 17, she told me she'd made $20,000 in her sleep. And I'm like, what? You made 20 grand, you didn't do anything? I said, screw college, mom, I'm getting into real estate. So I got my real estate broker's license right when I turned 18, you know, which you could do back then with education. They got smart, now you need some experience before you can be an actual broker and have your own office. But I was a broker. And my first year in real estate, I made about $8,000.
Wow.
My second year, maybe $10,000. But my third year, I made over $100,000, which back in 1980, you know, for a 21-year-old wasn't bad. So what happened between year two and year three that caused me to 10X my income? Well, what happened was I met a guy, I was actually dating his daughter, that taught me about the importance of mindset and psychology towards your success, okay? And how truly 80 to 90% of your success in anything is just that, your mindset and your psychology. Only, you know, 10 to 20% is the mechanical information, you know, the vehicle, as it were. If it was just knowledge, there'd be a bunch of wealthy librarians and college professors out there. It's the do and it's the keep doing. And so fast forward to today, I've owned over 2,000 houses that I've rented long term, thousands of apartment units. In 2006, my net worth went up $17 million while I slept. And you're thinking, wow. And so did I. I thought I was a freaking real estate god. In fact, I could barely fit my head through the door. I thought I was so cool. And you know, when that happens, maybe God of the universe will give you a nice little smack. Well, that was 2008. I lost everything in 2008. I lost $50 million. And one of the things that I'm known for on my podcast and, you know, in my training is the mindset it took to have $50 million to lose in the first place. And then maybe more important, or at least as important, the mindset it took to recover from that. I mean, there are people that jumped out of buildings back in the Great Depression for losing less than that comparatively. And even recently, in the 08 and 09 crisis, people took their lives over that stuff. So, and the reason they do that is they attach their identity to the vehicle, which is very dangerous, by the way, just as an aside. You should never associate with whatever vehicle you're using and make it your identity. It's just a vehicle and that's it. If it doesn't work, you may have failed with that. You're not a failure. And I call them seminars anyway. And it's actually been 27 businesses. I need to update that bio. 27 businesses that I've started, and several have been worth tens of millions of dollars. Most have been spectacular flaming seminars. Okay. It's only a failure if you don't get back up or you don't get the lesson. You know, like I said, I'm known for talking about mindset, and I'd love to drill down on that with you a little bit on how I was able to recover from losing $50 million and the strategies that I implemented. I'm happy to drill down a little deeper on that if you like.
Well, yeah, I think that would be absolutely fabulous. But before we get into that, let's talk about maybe how you got to those strategies and what that window was between, hey, we just lost $50 million. I lost everything. And then how long did it take you to really pull up and go, hey, wait, there's a way out of this?
Yeah, sure. Well, the answer involves some of the strategies. So luckily, the first strategy is peer group. Luckily, I was around an incredible peer group. I was in Tony Robbins' Platinum Partnership at the time, which used to cost about 150 grand. Now I think it's about a half a million. So I was around people that were thriving through that period. Okay. And they're like, okay, quit whining, dust yourself up. Yeah, you lost some money. Get up and go make it happen. You know, you want to be around people, guys, those of you listening, you want to be around people, first of all, that are going to not be threatened by your desire for success or from your success, threatened or jealous or fearful of it. And very often people are. And what's sad is most people default to the peers of people they went to school with or people that they work with. And that's a mistake. You want to proactively reach out to people that will empower you, validate you. Ideally, people that think what you think is hard is easy. You know, a rising tide lifts all ships. If you want to become better at tennis, do you want to play somebody better than you or worse than you? I mean, you know the answer. And so, you know, luckily I was in that peer group, which was a huge boost for me. But I'm going to tell you, sure, I licked my wounds for a few months, but then I immediately bounced back. And again, so I built 27 businesses. Like I said, we fail our way to success. And, you know, I got to meet the billionaire owner of Spanx, the woman's undergarments. Her name's Sarah Blakely, beautiful human being. In fact, I think she just sold it for $1 billion, but she started with $5,000. And I met her at a mastermind. By the way, learners are earners. I go to masterminds and boot camps literally several times a year because it's so important. Got my own boot camp coming up. We talked about that earlier. I'll mention that in a little bit. But at this mastermind, I remember her telling me that her dad used to ask her and her brother about on a weekly basis, what have you failed at this week? And he was pissed if he hadn't failed at anything. And I thought, what a freaking awesome question to ask your kids to not fear failure. I want to tell you, fear being in the same place you are a year from now, unless you love where you are right now, right? Fear regret. So much more than failure. So anyway, that was a big component of how I was able to turn it around. Again, I can expand on some of the other components if you like.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, those are action items. And I think that's what people are looking for is action items on how to achieve and change that mindset.
Sure, sure. Well, let's get into it then. So for example, if you come to my boot camp, I'm going to tell you the first thing we do, literally right after we start, is a goal setting workshop on steroids. Okay. Now I'm going to describe it to you. I will tell you, this is going to air before then. And I've got a boot camp coming up December 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Orlando. 3 full days of training. It's not a big sales pitch. I talk about my coaching for about 30 minutes in the full 3 days. I mean, it's drinking through a fire hose. If you're interested in multifamily at all, you're crazy not to come. And I'll give you listeners a phenomenal deal. Like, in fact, the price by the time this airs will be $600 and they can come for a third of that, $197. And I'll give them a code so you actually can get my courage and confidence course, which I just finished. I'm really proud of on building your courage and confidence. It's like 8 or 10 modules and my finding deals course. Cause right now in this hot market, the hardest thing to do is to find the deals. And so it's also kick butt. So you get both of those and you'll get my book. I've got a best-selling book. It's called How to Create Lifetime Cash Flow Through Multifamily Properties, Amazon bestseller in several categories. You'll get a PDF of this and you'll get the audio version of this. You can actually get this free as well. You just pay for the shipping. But anyway, but you get all that for $197. So let me just land the plane with that real fast. If you text multifamily to 72345, it'll take you to the website and go to the bottom of that thing and see the hundreds of unsolicited testimonials. I've never had a complaint. Thousands of people have attended. The only complaint I've ever had is the food sucks or the room's too cold or something like that. It's never about the content. But anyway, remember the code RODFRIEND. Very important. That's how you get that deal. So the code RODFRIEND, but you text multifamily to 72345. And we cover every aspect of the multifamily business, building a team, picking an area, finding deals, evaluating the deals, due diligence, financing the deal, syndication. I have a syndication attorney come. I have a finance broker come. But it's mostly me for 3 days. It's not like a bunch of people selling you stuff. It's just me, every aspect of the business. And then, of course, because I'm known for mindset, I spend a lot of time on mindset too. So let's talk about that. So again, one of the first things we do is goal setting. And let me describe the process. If you can't come to the bootcamp, you'll get a lot of value from this. So if you can, take some notes. So what you want to do, if you're going to do this on your own, is pick an hour when you have a lot of energy. Okay. Don't do it after a meal. Make sure you're well hydrated, drink some water, and sit down and write down everything you could ever possibly want in life. All the stuff, the houses, the cars, the boats, the jet skis, the planes. Just the simple act of writing them down triggers something in your brain called your reticular activating system. What that is a subconscious filter. You're not conscious of it. Subconscious filter in your brain that directs you, turns your head in the direction it thinks you need to go. Okay. And it's subconscious. The greatest example is when you first buy a car. You never really notice them. You buy the car, you see them everywhere, right? Well, that's your reticular activating system. And that's why writing your goals is so important. If you're one of those analytical people that keeps everything in your head, big mistake. If you're in your head, you're dead. Okay, so write it down. All right, so all the stuff. And again, this is everything you could ever possibly want in life, not just the New Year's resolutions that are forgotten by February. I mean, everything, big things, little things. Write down also all the things you want to do in this lifetime. You want to write a book. You want to climb every mountain over 14,000 feet. You want to visit every country on, you know, the Southern Hemisphere, whatever it is, write that down. Okay. Also, write down what you want to learn in this lifetime. You know, maybe you want to learn a foreign language. If you want to learn multifamily real estate, for God's sakes, come see me. You'll be super glad you did. I promise you that. You know, and so write down everything you want to learn. And by the way, take the lid off your brain. If you want a private island, a jet, a yacht, write it down because that starts the process. People, you know, don't realize that there's nothing you truly can't do, be, or have in this world. Truly nothing. If you just have to make a decision and go for it, that's it. And so don't limit yourself. Lastly, write down who you want to help. We'll do more for others than we'll ever do for ourselves. And guys, this is the fuel. It's never really about the goals, but you got to have them to push you and pull you. And I'll give you an example of why it's really not about the goals, but you need them. You got to have them. You need them to create what Napoleon Hill in his book, Think and Grow Rich, calls a burning desire. Okay. You've got to have that burning desire to push through fear. You know, to push through any limiting beliefs that you might have. You know, a lot of people have limiting beliefs. You know, when I immigrated to this country, I didn't speak English and I got thrown into school and I found out what bullies were for the first time. So I got my butt kicked because I hadn't learned how to fight. I didn't have really much of a father figure yet. Then my mom, God bless her, proud Dutch woman that she is, thought it'd be a great idea to send me to school in wooden shoes and those leather shorts the Germans wear for Oktoberfest, those lederhosen, and got my butt kicked again. And then the bullies would chase me home and she'd chase them off with a fly swatter. Next day, I got my butt kicked again. But the reason I bring that up is that caused me to create this feeling that I wasn't good enough.
Right.
And a lot of people have these limiting beliefs like that. And just remember this, guys, if you've got that, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm not smart enough, I'm not analytical enough, whatever it is, recognize there's a reason that the acronym for belief systems is BS, because 99.9% of them are just that, BS. But this is the fuel that gets you to push through that BS, okay? Or maybe you're comfortable as well. And the comfort zone's a warm place, but nothing freaking grows there, right? So you got to have that burning desire to push through. So you've written your goals down. You've written down who you want to help. You've written down what you want to learn, what you want to do, everything. And if you're analytical, please don't stop and analyze your answers as you're writing these goals down. Just keep writing. You can always scratch them out later. Now, once you're done, it's a couple more steps. You need to put a time limit on each goal. Put how many years you think it's going to take you to achieve it. And don't overthink this either. Just put a 1, a 3, a 5, even a 10 or a 20. Recognizing that as human beings, we will overestimate what we can do in a year and massively underestimate what we can do in 5, 10, or 20 years. I'll give you an example of this. When I lived in Denver, I knew I wanted to live on the beach one day. And there's no beach in Denver. So I would visualize the palm trees and the surf and the sand and the sunshine. And 20 years later, I built this $8 million, 10,000 square foot mansion at the beach on one side. It was called a Gulf to Bay. On the backside, I had my boat lift. So it was like a slice through an island. And the reason I bring that up, not to brag, I'm going to give you some other examples that are from my own personal life. Please know I'm not bragging. I'm only hoping to inspire you. But that was unthinkable when I was 18. So the point I'm making with that is don't limit yourself, okay? Okay, once you've got a time limit on each goal, pick your number one goal. And I mean that goal when you get it, you're like, oh my God, you know, you've arrived when you achieve that goal. Okay. So pick that, put it on another piece of paper. Now, if you've got a couple that are equally exciting, just pick one. It won't matter for what we're going to do next. So pick one. Then pick your top 3 1-year goals, put them on a separate sheet of paper, leave some room in between them. If you do it at my bootcamp, we give you a guide for all this, but you can do it on a piece of paper. Now, at this point, you are ahead of 99.9% of the people on the planet that do a New Year's resolution that never goes anywhere, but there's 1.5 more steps. I need you to write why each one of those goals is an absolute freaking must to achieve. Okay. So write a description why it has to happen. Why? Because it's the why that's going to drive you. It's the why that's going to get you to get up early, stay up late, grind for a few years like most people won't, so you can live the rest of your life like most people can't. So be descriptive in your why and use emotionally charged words, words like amazing and beautiful and incredible when you're writing your why. So I can show my kids what incredible abundance looks like. So I can show my wife how to live an amazing life of freedom. And we can have the unlimited freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want, wherever we want, bring whoever we want. Again, whatever is going to juice you, put that in your whys, okay? Put one under each goal, why it has to happen. Now, take it one little step further once you're done. Put some pain in there if you don't achieve the goal and make it freaking hurt. If I don't achieve the goal, so I don't feel like a failure, so I don't fail my kids, so I don't fail my husband or wife, you know, so I don't live a life of regret. Here's why, Sam, I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a great example of this. There was this nurse in Australia, a hospice nurse. So she took care of patients when they were about to die.
Yeah. Top 5 regrets of the dying.
Yeah, that's right. Bronnie Ware is her name. 5 regrets of dying.
Yeah.
Right. She asked them, do you have any regrets? And she wrote this book called The 5 Regrets of Dying. Number one regret was not living the life I could have lived, living someone else's life, not doing what I know I'm capable of. Guys, I can't think of anything worse than that.
That book will rip your heart out if you go all the way through it. You're like, oh my gosh, like never let me say those 5 regrets. Highly recommend that book.
Right. So once you've got your reasons why, positive and negative, that you have to achieve the goals, you need to go out and get pictures, okay? You may need to make some declarations as long as you make them to the right people. But let me give you some examples. I'll give you a couple of public examples. So let's talk about Jim Carrey first. So Jim Carrey, the comedian, the actor. When he was flat broke, he wrote himself a check for $10 million. A check is something we used to pay for things, guys. So those of you millennials that don't have any clue what I'm talking about, I'm joking. But he used to go out by the Hollywood sign, flat broke, and he'd visualize cashing it. He'd look at it and visualize cashing it. And that's how much money he made for Dumb and Dumber. I'll give you a more recent example. Demi Lovato, the singer. When she was unknown about 11 or 12 years ago, posted on social media, one day I'm going to sing the national anthem in the Super Bowl. Not this last one. Go watch the one before and see who sang the national anthem. I'll give you some personal examples for me. When I was 18, I bought a 4-door car because I figured I had to have a 4-door car to show houses because I was a realtor, right? And I bought this bone ugly Ford Granada, piece of crap with bench seat in the front. But that's what I figured I had to have. Now, the guy I was telling you about that I worked for, he had a couple of Corvettes and he let me drive one. I'm like, oh my God, this is freaking awesome. So I got a picture of a Corvette out of a magazine. This is way before the internet. Put that picture of that Corvette on the visor of my Granada. So every time I sat in it, it was right there in front of me. Then a year or two, I had a beautiful Corvette. I'm going to give you a couple more examples. Again, this is not me bragging. This stuff doesn't even interest me anymore. But this will hopefully juice you. And so replace what I'm going to describe here with what you want, okay? Don't say, okay, I'm not interested in that. Pay attention. I got that Corvette, and then I was watching the TV show Magnum PI with the detective Tom Selleck. I don't know if that's, it probably dates me even more, but he drove this Ferrari 308, and I thought that was the coolest freaking thing I'd ever seen. So I got a picture of that actual car and put that on the visor of my Corvette. Within a year or two, I had a Maserati look just like it. Last example, I'm the guy that always wanted a Lamborghini. I mean, I used to dream about the Lamborghini Countach back in the day.
Oh, 80s, man. That's an awesome car.
Right. But what's interesting is my son collected models of exotic cars. So he had about 40. He had the Ferraris and the McLarens and the, and, you know, all that, and Lamborghini. But he had a Lamborghini, exact same color and style that I ended up getting, which I wrecked ultimately. But the point is, get pictures of your goals. In fact, let me show you something. I know you're putting this out on YouTube, so I'll show you something. This is my planner. Okay, it's on today. But in the back of this thing, I've got, and for those of you just listening, I'll just describe what I'm showing him. I've got a full-size planner here. In the back, I've got pictures that have been in here for over 20 years. Now, the first pictures are my gratitude pictures. They're pictures of my kids when they were very young. My daughter's 30. My son is 26 now. But everything starts from a place of gratitude, guys. If you're going to manifest anything in your lives, it starts from gratitude. That's the foundation. So I've got my gratitude pictures. Then after that, I've got, you know, the things that I wanted. What's crazy is this top picture looks just like the house I built on the beach. It's got that 10-foot high glass that was butt together, the travertine floors. It's before I built it. This bottom picture looks just like the compound I have now. You can see those white walls in the pictures. This is 21 years ago. Look behind me. That's my backyard. There's the white wall, same white wall. It's just crazy. You know, and then I've got pictures of, let's see, yeah, like watches. I got a few $100,000 worth of watches. Again, stuff I thought was important at one time. Again, replace these examples with whatever you want. The Lamborghini before I ever got it, Rolls Royce, Bentley, all this stuff that I thought was important one time that I got because I put pictures around me. So, you know, I've got vision boards now. I've got pictures on my walls. I've got them on my screensaver. Why? Because it works. And I know I lost some of you analytical ones are going, oh boy, we're in the foo-foo land here. Well, big mistake. Okay. I'm here to tell you, this is how I had 50 million to lose and how I got back to what I have today. You know, I bought somewhere around 2,500 doors in the last 2.5 years.
I love the idea of visualization. I love all of that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I have experienced personally and that I think many people have experienced is that the idea that when they got to the top, they found out there's nothing there.
Oh, let me give you an example, please. Let me give you.
Well, I think you've touched on it with all the ideas. You'd be like, stuff I used to care about.
No. Let me give you a gripping example of that. Okay. Let me give you a gripping example. So, and I'm really glad you brought it up. I didn't want to forget that. So you reminded me of it. So I remember I told you about that house on the beach. Okay. I worked for that thing for 20. I mean, this house was magnificent. Okay. I told you beach on one side, bay on the backside. It had a waterfall. I'll give you some examples of why it was so cool. I had a waterfall from the second floor balcony. It's 12-foot-wide waterfall from the second floor balcony into the pool. The pool was in magazines, okay? It had a giant spiral staircase up through the middle of the house, custom built with wrought iron and all this cool decorative stuff, elevator, wine cellar. I mean, I'll land the plane with this. On the second floor, I had aquariums built that cost me almost 200 grand around the spiral staircase. It gives you an idea of the house. 2 months after I moved in, I'm floating in the pool at night. Again, I worked for this for 20 years. Okay. It was on my radar 20 years. 2 months after I moved in, I'm floating in the pool at night and pool's changing colors. It's got fiber optic lighting. And I'm looking up at this testament to my ego. It's really what it was. It was to prove the world I was good enough. And that's the truth of it. And I got depressed. And I don't mean just a little bummed. I mean, I was really bummed. And I'm like, I've just achieved success like times 1,000. I had the family inside sleeping. I had all the toys. I had the house, everything. It's like, how could I possibly be depressed? Well, there's several things going on, Sam. So I'm really glad you reminded me of this. The first one is you should never achieve a big goal without having other goals lined up behind it. Like the good book says, without a vision, the people perish. You need a vision for the future. And I didn't know what I was going to do next. So that was a big one. Second big one was it's never about the goals. Maybe you've heard the expression, the happiest days of a boat owner's life are the day they buy the boat and the day they sell the boat. Okay. It's never about the goals. You got to have the goals to create that burning desire. You got to have them. But it's never about that. Happiness comes from progress and growth. Okay. And I didn't know what I was going to do next. How was I going to grow or progress? And I teach my students, and you'll learn this in my boot camp if you can make it, that I teach a weekly planning process that includes celebrating whatever you got done, no matter how minor. Because even if you're going to have delays in life and everything, you're going to have setbacks. Like I told you, I had 27 businesses, most failed, okay, seminars. But that's okay. We learn from them. We move on. We dust ourselves off. We keep going. You know, the goals are never a straight line. But if you're celebrating your progress and your growth, you're always going to be happy. So that was the second thing. But here's the big one. I had been, remember I told you, I didn't feel like I was good enough. I used to ask myself, how can I show them I'm good enough? You know, which of course presupposed that I wasn't. Well, I was totally focused on me. Rod, Rod, Rod. Show the world I matter. Show the world I'm good enough. But when I got depressed, I went out and bought some books. And one of them was Tony Robbins' book. And I'm like, you know, I really like this stuff. So I went and saw him live. And I found out that he fed families for the holidays. And I'm like, you know, what a concept. Do something for someone else one day. You know, I'm embarrassed to say I had to be 40 to get that memo. But I called my brother because I was going back to Denver for Thanksgiving. I said, hey, let's feed 5 families. So he went to his church and found 5 families that really needed help. And we did it for Thanksgiving. We do it for Christmas now. But oh well, actually, we'd alternate sometimes. But he got these 5 families and we bought toys for the kids. If they had kids, we bought frozen turkeys, big boxes of food. I mean, it was just, I had a lot of fun actually buying this stuff. Third house changed my life. We go up to this crappy row house. It was not even a one bedroom. It was a crappy one bedroom woman there with 5 kids. She comes out. She sees all the stuff on the porch, the food, the toys. She starts crying. The kids come out. The older ones start crying. Rod starts crying. I start crying and I'm hooked. Next year, I fed 50 families and I doubled it every year up to 1600 families. I'm blessed to say in the last 21 years, we fed over 100,000 children for the holidays. We've done tens of thousands. And by the way, I'm not bragging here, please. There's a message in all this. So listen up because it's really important if you want success. You know, I've done tens of thousands of backpacks filled with school supplies for, you know, local children so that they, it's astounding to me. We live in the greatest country on earth and kids don't have freaking school supplies. I've done tens of thousands of teddy bears to local police departments for their officers to keep in a vehicle if they encounter a child, you know, that's been traumatized. Here's the thing. Here's the message in this, guys. Again, this is not to brag. We have been taught to achieve to be happy. Okay. That's it. You know, I'll be happy once I've achieved.
Right.
Big mistake.
Right.
Give back right now in some fashion and you'll be happily achieving. Okay. And I know that's a play on words, but it's an important play on words. Okay. So you might be saying to yourself, you know, yeah, that sounds all real good. Once I'm making money, I'll give back. No, big mistake. Find a cause you're interested in right now. Children like me, the elderly, the environment, animals, whatever it is that will juice you and do something towards it right now. Why? Because you'll be happily achieving and you'll get to success faster. Trust me on this. That's the way the God, the universe, whatever you believe works. You get it back tenfold, a hundredfold. Now you don't do it for that reason, but that's just the way it works. And Tony Robbins calls it the science of achievement versus the art of fulfillment, and where achievement really is a science. I mean, if you want to learn multifamily, I will give you the blueprint step by step. You just got to do it. Okay. It's scientific. There's no guesswork in it. You just have to do it, but fulfillment isn't. It's an art. And the art is really discovering what juices you and then doing something towards that. And it doesn't have to be money. It can just be your time. By the way, I'll put a plug in for my foundation. I pay for everything and then some. Everybody that comes to my boot camp, I feed a family. I pay all the operational expenses. But if you want to donate, text Tiny Hands to 72345. And again, every dime goes to the food, the backpacks, $22 feeds a family. So again, text Tiny Hands to 72345. And again, on the boot camp, for God's sakes, if you have any interest, even if you just want to invest passively, come to the boot camp. Why would you give your hard-earned money to someone if you don't know, have a basic understanding of what it is they're doing so you can protect yourself with your hard-earned money? So again, text multifamily to 72345. And use the code RODFRIEND. You can come for less than $200 and you'll get those courses and the book. And if you come to me on Sunday, which is the final day, and you tell me you didn't love the event, I don't mean like it. I mean, freaking love it. I'll give you your money back. No questions asked. Never happened, but who knows? It was first time for everything. So thousands and thousands of people have attended, but I'm super excited because I've been doing virtual events for like 2 years, almost 2 years. It's like, oh, I've had thousands of people do that, but it's just me and my poker face videographer. I get no energy, you know, and it's me full on for days. And it's just brutal when I've got a crowd in front of me, you know, I get that energy and the love and the excitement. And it's, I'm just so looking forward to it. So again, December 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Orlando.
Rod, you've given us so much here today. Certainly enjoyed it. I mean, you're just going back some of the highlights, not separate identity and vehicle. You know, that's a tough one. Talking about building your peer group, you know, the top five people you surround yourself or, you know, with fear, regret more than failure, that happiness comes from progress and growth, not achieving necessarily the goal. Yeah, I love the idea of visualization. That's a big part.
Let me give you an example of that real fast, if you don't mind. Most mornings, I'll sit in this recliner behind me, okay? And you can see, there were my vision boards right there on the floor, actually. And I will sit there and I'll just do gratitude, okay? I'll be grateful for my supermodel, beautiful wife, who's more beautiful on the inside than the outside, my kids, my foundation, my coaching students. Real proud of my coaching students. I've been teaching about 3.5 years. They now own over 46,000 doors. I'm so freaking proud of that. But anyway, I just do gratitude for all of that. But then, and just for a couple minutes, not for long, just a couple minutes. I'll sometimes do it in bed. It doesn't matter where you do it, but this is a real powerful exercise. Then I'll do gratitude for the things that I want as if I already have them. Mm. And I know that sounds foofy. I lost a couple more of you here, but I'm telling you, this is how I had the $50 million to lose. Now I got it back, guys. And it's not ego. It's just because it freaking works. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, so I'll do gratitude for things that I want as if I already have them. Sometimes I get emotional being grateful for things I don't even have yet. Why? Because it freaking works. Okay. So anyway, you said visualization. I just remembered I'd forgotten to mention that.
I love it, man. I love the energy. I don't know how old you are, but it seems to be boundless.
61. Yeah. Well, listen, buddy, when you love what you do, that's a real key for any business that you get into as well, especially multifamily real estate, because it's a team sport. And people need to feel that passion to want to work with you. And the only way you get that passion is if you love it. So if you come to my boot camp, and you can learn to love anything, by the way, you can associate pleasure with it. I tell them, you know, equate it to hunting for buried treasure. But if you can't learn to love it, for God's sakes, do something else, because you're not going to be passionate about it. You're not going to influence anybody. To influence, you got to be passionate.
100%. Rod, I've enjoyed it. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, I think you've mentioned a few ways.
Yeah, let me give you a couple more. My podcast, I'm blessed to say 11.5 million downloads so far. And even if you don't interest, if you're not interested in multifamily, I do a clip every week called Own Your Power. It's like 3 to 5 minutes. It's like super short, hundreds of them there. But I talk about topics for you to own your power. Like I just did self-actualization. I did focusing on a higher goal than lower goal and things of that nature. Those are the last two I just did, top of mind. But with music, and I promise you, I will juice you. If you give me 5 minutes a week, I will juice you. So if you check it out, it's called Lifetime Cash Flow Through Real Estate Investing is my podcast. Even if you're not interested in multifamily, you'll love those Own Your Power clips. And then if you want to go to my website, I've got tons of free resources there. I'm about adding as much value as I can. I live by that motto. And so there's books and articles and videos, and it's all free. And if you go to realestatewithrod.com, that's the direct link to rodcleef.com. Nobody can spell my name. So go to realestatewithrod.com and take advantage of all those free resources. Sam, I really appreciate having me on, buddy. It's been fun.
Hey, thank you, Rod. I do appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, bud.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.